Okay. I should have mentioned at the beginning, please write down any questions as we go along. But that slipped my mind. So if there are any questions, yes, Shelley.
Isn't it okay to have someone, like, if it, say someone is staying in your house and they're not saved, and they come to the meeting and you tell them, please don't partake of the emblem, isn't that okay for them to come and observe? And maybe, you know, I know people that have been convicted. I know when Matthew first came with us, he wasn't saved, and we invited him.
Yes, I would say
that the Lord's Supper can really speak.
Yeah, no, I would say yes. From this scripture that talks about in 14, 1 Corinthians 14, I believe it is, if there come in someone who's unsaved. Now, I believe the thrust of the thinking is we don't go out advertising, come one, come all, but you have a friend staying over, and it's the way it is, it's not. There's no hocus pocus. It's not. Nothing's going to fall. Walls aren't going to fall down. Anything like that. God doesn't work like that. He will convict. And he will move. But the thrust, the idea is, a lot of churches out there will go inviting everybody. Come one, come all, come on in. And that's not the thrust of this meeting. If one happens to come in, so be it. They will be convicted, and they'll say, oh, I'm paraphrasing, truly their God is among you. So, yes, I would agree. If any other brother has something to add to that.
Well, if I may just add to that as a comment, the Lord's Supper did have a big impact on me. I wasn't saved. And just between it all, Spirit of the Lord working in me at that time, it really had an impact on me. And I went away with remembering verses in my mind, and that came again to me over and over again, that were brought up and how the Lord was presented here. It did have a big impact on me, and I just gotta say.
Amen. Yeah, now, it's important to remember that what we do isn't based on results. We see Matthew was obviously convicted and saved through partly due to experiencing the Lord's Supper, but that doesn't dictate what we do. What we do dictates what this says. We do what this says, whether we see results or not. So I would say, yes, believers can come in, but as a rule, we do not go out and invite come one, come all. But yes, unbelievers can come in, and it's fine. They can sit back, as you said, and hopefully be convicted. Yes?
A friend of mine came a couple weeks ago, Scott. I'm sure some of you saw him. But I've known him a couple of years, and we always talk about the Word of God and how I got saved and whatever, but he wanted to come observe the meeting, and I didn't see no wrong in that at all. But he wanted to see how the true meaning of the Lord's Supper should be.
Mm.
And I sort of said to him, come and observe.
Yeah.
But this, please don't take the emblem. I mean,
I would agree that.
Yeah, he said he's saved, but he's not baptized.
Oh, he says he's saved.
Yeah. I said, just come and observe the meeting. But he enjoyed it, but time right now is not right for him.
Yeah, if there was time, it would be nice to direct him towards Ralph or Mike or myself or Jens or Dan or Weston, that, interview him. If he claims to be saved, you'd like to know that.
He was going to come Tuesday, but we had that snowstorm. Because I asked Jens to talk with him, but he didn't have the chance to come.
Now, some places, they allow only people that are baptized to take part of the Lord's Supper, according to your point. And some places do not. Perhaps we can discuss, is there a requirement for baptism before partaking of the Lord's Supper. Without putting anybody on the spot, the thing is, some places are very adamant about that. And then there's also a difference between receiving into an assembly and partaking of the Lord's Supper. There's a difference there. Perhaps if we have time, we can discuss that.
What if you brought a guest with you that we knew was saved, and we said to the greeter, oh, this person is a Christian, could they break bread?
That's just like a letter. If you know that person, you're vouching. Yes, it's oral vouching. I know this person's a Christian, and they're in good standing. They're not living with a girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever it is. You know, not out drinking at the bars.
There's a scriptural precedent for that. When Paul was first baptized, and he was brought into the assembly, the only one that nobody understood was Ananias.
Can I just make a comment with what Mike was talking about with whether you're baptized or not? When I first came into the assembly, that was sort of a strict rule. This was back in the late 70s, and I was not baptized, and I was not allowed to break bread until I was. And the thought is that there's no real rule on it except to say this, that the Lord gives us two ordinances as believers. One is the breaking of the bread, the other is to be baptized by immersion. And it is thought that an evidence of obedience to the Lord is the baptism, by being baptized. And then that is evidence of living your life on the Lord, and therefore you should be then breaking bread. Kind of in that order. Because that's the order you see in the New Testament.
Well, it's in one place.
What is that?
It's in the book of the Acts. You just
242.
242.
242. But the pattern, that there's one instance, there's a scriptural precedent in the sense that it's recorded, but it doesn't actually take the place of a command. It doesn't say that. As Kevin mentioned, you have to know the Lord, of course, and baptism as an obedience thing is true, but I was here as well all those years, and there were people that came out of that tank, and you never saw them again.
Right.
You never saw them, and they went on to prove that they weren't saved. Because when they came in, they went out, they came in a wet center, and they came out of a wet center. I mean, it was just the way it was. And they just were baptized because some preconceived notion in their mind that that's what a person should be, is baptized. It's a matter of, with them, a matter of respect and propriety. So there are some people that have that mindset. But what it is actually before somebody should be allowed to drink bread, isn't so much water baptism. There's no basis in Scripture that it's a requirement. It's not a requirement. It's a requirement that a person be saved, but it's incumbent upon a responsible brother at any particular meeting to actually speak to those people before they are allowed to break bread for their own protection and the protection of the meeting. Otherwise, they would be allowed to even drink condemnation unto themselves. Now, if a person is baptized and right away, the longest in Scripture that anyone has not been baptized was 3 days, in the case of the Apostle Paul. That's the longest. So if you want to go by patterns, upon profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to keep that tank full of hot water, because then they have to be baptized immediately upon their profession, even if you have to open up the building and fill the tank immediately. If you want to do it that way, and go by looking at patterns in order, that is recorded in Scripture without a divine command, then upon salvation they have to be baptized immediately. The Ethiopian eunuch was baptized right away. That was taught along with the gospel. So and so on and so on. So you have the Philippian generous and his family not necessarily a requirement. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is.
Hmm.
We're not going to talk a lot of baptism here. You have no scripture to stand on. And I've been in gospel hall just like Jane has, just like other people have, and they were so strict. You had to wear a sport coat at night and so on at every meeting, and legalism. But there is not a scriptural background for it, and I can't find it.
May I add one thing? It's a very good point you're making, brother, about that. Is in all these things, you know, both taking part in the bread and the cup and the baptism, people can do it without any change in their minds. So the fundamental thing is, whether it's a visitor, anybody, they should ask themselves, both the eunuch and the Philippian jailer, that ask, can I be baptized in whom I am? Can I take part in that? That's really a sign of a true born again person. It will come from them. It's coming from within. The Holy Spirit is working. And that is what, you know, we can do all interviews. For example, three brothers can meet with sister's friend. But people can fool all of us, except they can never fool the Holy Spirit. And that is where we have to let it in the hands of the Lord. After a while, you know, we have seen in the assembly some have professed. After 3 years, we find that they had a terrible life, never been changed. They've just been fooling all of us for such a long time. But even in that case, the meeting is not spoiled in any way. You know, we should be observing the letter. If we are cognizant, as Brother correctly said, commonly reported, we should immediately go into action. Other than that, if the Lord hides it from us, so be it.
But be sure your sin will find you out.
That's it.
Eventually it will come to pass. And that person is not having a meeting, they are found themselves.
Exactly.
If they can bring the condemnation for themselves.
So as a sister, what should I do? I mean, if I talk to him or something, I mean, he does want to come to observe again. I mean, I just can't say, God, you can't come.
This is a one who claims he's saved, right? You say he's saved.
He said he's saved, yes.
Then the Lord invites him. If he's saved, we'll check. You direct him towards myself or Mike.
Yeah.
And bring... be here a few minutes early, and we'll talk to him. If he says he knows the Lord, we'll ask him if he died, if he would, God forbid, if you were to die today, do you know where you're going to go? You know, questions like that. If he says he knows the Lord, then the Lord has invited him. He is welcome. If he says that he's in good standing, he's not in open sin, then he has, we believe, every right to be here with us remembering the Lord. We believe that from Scripture. That's how we believe the Scripture here. It's that simple.
But I know he has a few things in his life that he does have to straighten out. So this is in back of his mind also.
Are they open sin? We can talk afterwards, but we need to be careful of that.
What's right and wrong when it comes to the Lord?
There's a difference between the Lord's table and the Lord's supper. You can have fellowship with someone whose life is not really, even if it's a sin that's not open, he knows himself that he has to straighten things out. Well, you can be at the Lord's table in the sense that he can have fellowship with you, for example, you know, on a social level. But that's the Lord's table. You can talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy the things you've brought together. And he may be addicted he doesn't go publicly drunk, but perhaps he drinks more wine than he should. And he just feels, I don't know if I should take the Lord's Supper. He reads the Bible, he says, he has some doubts. He shouldn't take the Lord's Supper if he has any doubts in his mind that way. But nevertheless, he is a brother or could be a sister in Christ, and that's the Lord's table. You have fellowship with him. The Lord's Supper well, I enjoy talking about the Lord Jesus Christ.